Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with the membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.
Lord, we come before you, and that, Lord, that your words might leap from your Holy Bible into our hearts and our minds, and that, Lord, the Christian may rejoice, and that, Lord, the one that don't know you can be saved. Lord, your word is transforming. And it's amazing to us how your word is renewed every time we read it. Lord, give me great wisdom. Give me clarity of thought. Give me clarity in my mind as we go through this lesson. May you open the ears and the hearts of those about to receive this. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I've been going through it, do you have this one book or maybe passage that always draws you back? You know, you might be reading over here, but you know, you get drawn to certain, that's Romans for me. I love Romans. And today we're going to be looking at Romans 12, and I'm going to make this into a series, because I could only get through the first three verses. So this will be a series. Next time I have an opportunity to preach, we'll continue on. Romans 12 is a pivotal point in the Bible, or in Romans. It is right smack dab in the center. And we're going to learn from this as we go. All right, let me start off. I'm going to read this. I'm going to give an introduction, and then we're going to take each one of these verses and break it down. So if you're following me, it's Romans 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound thinking, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So, you know, some of the most important words in scriptures we tend to bypass, just because, you know, we're getting through it or we're reading. And one of these terms that I want us to consider here is Paul starts out with the word therefore. And like I said, it could be easily passed, but this is today's message. Therefore, in Romans 12, 1 alerts us to a new section of Paul's epistle to the Romans, a section that sums up what he said previously through 1 through 11. So this is a pivotal point. And you know, one thing I love about Paul is we've all had those teachers that just spew information and give you information and don't hold back and then come back and say, this is how you apply that information, right? So, you know, I've had that in my life where teachers just spew information, but the ones that really help me are the ones that help me apply what I just learned. And that's what Paul's doing here. So after, you know, laying out many essential doctrines of Christianity in chapter 1 through 11, which is, you know, Romans is deep, deep theology. In Romans 12, he begins to unfold the way we must live in light of these truths he just taught. As previously written in chapter 1 through 11, the reality of divine grace, justification, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and God's plan to save the Jews and the Gentiles. That was just like a mind blower back then. You know, if you remember in chapter 11, he talks about this mystery, and now the Gentiles are brought into the fold, and how that just, that was a hard thing for the Jews to take. And this cannot be embraced without producing a new way of life in the believer. Paul sums up the entirety of the Christian life in 12:1 in this admonition that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our spiritual worship. And understand, Paul's point requires us to consider briefly one of the purposes of the old covenant sacrificial system. Full devotion to ourselves, to God, is the logical response to all that he has done for us. For nothing less than our times, our talents, desires, and possessions could even begin to show our appreciation for his willingness to purchase us from the wrath we deserve as sinning against him. Such devotion means that we think God's thoughts after him. Think about that. We need to think God's thoughts after him. How hard is that to do? Refusing to be conformed to the patterns of this fallen world, if we love what the world loves, we cannot love what the Father loves. And the main way we learn to deny the world's ways and embrace the Lord's will is through the renewal of our minds, which occurs as we study and meditate, or as Pastor Austin likes to say, ruminate upon God's word. With that introduction, we're going to look at all three verses in context and detail. Now, not all the detail I would like, because otherwise we'd be here all day. But so, verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice." Stop right there. Present your bodies as a sacrifice. Some translations say living sacrifice. But living holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, I've already covered the therefore in detail in the intro. I exhort you, brothers. This isn't when he says, I exhort you, brothers, this isn't just, hey, you should do this. It's a good idea, right? It's not, oh, by the way, attitude. Paul is the exhort is, as Merriam-Webster defines, is to incite by argument or advice, urge strongly. So he's not saying, hey, just listen to me. He's like, stop what you're doing, eyes on me, ears on me, listen to what I have to say. I am urging you to hear this. Anytime we see that in Scripture, we need to pay attention and stop what we're doing and listen. Then it says, by the mercies of God. It is by God's mercy that we have been redeemed. So Paul is bringing this to be first and foremost in our thoughts. By the mercies of God. So how are we supposed to do all of this? God saved us. God's going to enable us to do this. You have been saved from eternal damnation by the mercies of God. Then it says to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God. You know, we no longer need the animal or grain offerings to the Lord, do we? That's the Old Testament. And you know, when you really think about it, God didn't need those things either. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. We just read that, right? He owns everything. What's he looking for? He's looking for the attitude of the heart. He's looking for how we, as living sacrifices, what is our attitude towards our Lord? That should be a driving force in our lives. He needs our obedience so we can show that we belong to him. Notice also that this has been written on how to approach God as a sacrifice. Living, holy, and pleasing to him. Holy, we learned not too long ago, be holy as I am holy, right? The holiness of man, I preached on that. So we are to be all in, trusting the Lord. And he will guide us and direct us through everything. And it says, then, which is your spiritual service of worship? This is crucial. Spiritual service as opposed to outwardly flesh, the Pharisees' service, right? This is where we can talk about works, right? People that get into works. It's not a spiritual service of worship. It's an outward showing of worship. Our worship shows that we belong to God. Our ownership is by living out the spiritual service of worship. How many people that you know, or how many churches, you know, that go on this works-based path? If I do good things, if I act a certain way, you know, we're talking about the law in CE hour, you know, if I follow the law, you know, letter of the law directly, and that's all outwardly. When it talks about spiritual service, this is supernatural. This is not a natural thing. Well, if it's supernatural, where does it come from? It comes from our Lord. He will give us that ability to have that spiritual service of worship for him. Calvin, I've been reading a little bit on Calvin too. He said in his commentary on verse 1, quote, this sentence, I think, was added that he, talking about Paul, might more clearly apply and conform the preceding exhortation as though he had said, offer yourselves a sacrifice to God. If ye have it in your heart to serve God, for this is the right way of serving God, from which, if any depart, they are but false worshipers. If then only God is rightly worshipped, when we observe all things according to what he has prescribed, away then all those devised modes of worship which he justly abominates, since he values obedience more than sacrifice. I'm sure you've heard that before, right? Men are indeed pleased with their own inventions, but have an empty show of wisdom. As Paul says in another place, but we learn here that the celestial judge declared in opposition to this by the mouth of Paul, for by calling that a reasonable service which he commands, he repudiates as foolish, insipid, and presumptuous whenever we attempt beyond the rule of his word. That's when we try to add to it, right? When we try, when we act out in flesh instead of in the spirit. So this is critical at this time, in this juncture of Romans chapter 12. He gave all these laws and rules and incredible theology. But how are we to consume this? This is supernatural. This is only someone with a transformed heart can consume. And it's hard for even the Christian to soak it in. That's why I said earlier that it just seems like as we read God's word, it's just new and refreshed every single time we read it. This gets us to verse 2. And this is the one that is, I think, the biggest challenge today in this earth. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. So what does it mean, don't be conformed to the world? Colossians 3:2 states for us, set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. We're here but a short time. We're here in a whisper. This has nothing in light of eternity that waits. It's real easy to get caught up into the world. It's real easy to get caught up into things. You know, we just had Christmas and, you know, all the brand new toys and doodads and stuff like that. It's really easy to get caught up into things. What are they? They're a distractor to us. They tend to get our minds off of Christ. It is really a matter of where your affections lie. That's a heart check on all of us, right? Where do your affections lie? Do they lie on things of this earth? Or are you looking towards the blessed hope? Life, again, here on earth is just a whisper. Don't be caught up in things of this earth that rust and moth will destroy. Then it says, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is huge. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So transformation is not a minor thing. Transformation is major. Now, does transformation happen overnight? Some it does. But most of it doesn't happen overnight. Transformation is a mind change. You start looking at things in the biblical view instead of the worldly view. You know, we see this all the time in evolution, right? We are given the same evidence that's set before us as far as the evolutionists have. But we come to differing opinions. Why is that? We are looking at it through the lens of God's word. We are looking at it through a biblical worldview, where man is looking at it, and they really don't know how to explain this stuff. They come up with a really confusing and sometimes double-talk way of getting things done. How do we accomplish this? How do we accomplish having a transformed and renewed mind? Simple. And it's not that simple. It's by reading God's word, being in the word, praying, reading. That's Pastor Austin's favorite word, ruminate on the word of God. It will cleanse or renew, as the passage states, our way of thinking and dealing with life's challenges. as we move forward. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. Then it says, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, it's not us approving God's will. It's a grammatical thing, the way it's written. But it's by our transformation, we live our lives to the will of God. You know, we read, you know, saw this morning, you know, a good illustration of this is, I like how he did this, is Ferguson talking about God writes his law in our hearts, right? That is something, how do we understand the will of God? We understand the will of God by understanding his laws are perfect. And they're there to protect us. And this brings us to the Lord's trait as being good, pleasing, and perfect. Now to the world, he's the, you know, the old man with the billy club ready to whack you in the head as soon as you do something wrong, right? But to us, he is good, pleasing, and perfect. He's there for us. And that's only something that a Christian can have. So now we get into verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound thinking, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So, for through the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. This is a tough one. We let pride get in the way a lot. And we end up in situations, and sometimes we totally take our eyes off of God and look at ourselves. Like, why is this happening to me? Right? Or, hey, just like the Pharisee, I'm glad I'm not that person. Right? These are our innermost thoughts, hence the word think. Now, this is something that we don't, no pun intended, think about. We can think anything we want, and nobody hears except God. Our thought life is a huge battleground. He knows what you're thinking 24/7. Because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. You can hide nothing from God. This takes great self-control in thinking about your thoughts. Especially before they come out of your mouth. You know, the old vernacular saying that, you know, I need to peppermint my foot because I keep sticking it in my mouth. Because sometimes we let words loose without thought and thinking about what are these thoughts going to do to that person, right? So this is important. Don't think of yourself more highly than you are. Humble yourself. This is humility. This again is a battleground in our lives. Next it says, but to think so that you have sound thinking, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Here's why we should be thinking sound on the basis of God's likeness and not our own. Notice our faith is measured and allotted to each one of us by God. It's not a generalized faith. It's an individualized faith. He allots that to us. That when we have saving faith, he gives us that faith to believe. Before, we were enemies. You know, we didn't want anything to do with him. We were, and as soon as he grabs us and gives us the faith to believe, it is measured out to each one of us. The more we grow in our sanctification, the stronger our faith and the soundness of our thinking. So it should be. Now, also, it depends on what are you doing? Are you under sound teaching? Are you picking up the Bible and reading it? Are you praying? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your steps? The more we grow in our sanctification, the stronger our faith. We need to exercise that faith muscle in our lives. One more Calvin quote. The world praises itself. Oh, isn't that the truth? The world does praise itself. Now this, yeah, I figure this is Calvin, right? Centuries ago, right? The world praises itself and takes the delight of its own inventions. But Paul affirms that nothing pleases God except what he has commanded. The world, in order to find perfection, slides from the word of God into its own devices. Paul, by fixing perfection in the will of God, shows that anyone passes over that mark, he is deluded by a false imagination. Where do you stand in light of all of these? Like I said, this is not only a pivotal chapter in Romans, but this could be a pivotal chapter of your life. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is giving up your ownership and putting it into the hands of God. I am not my own. I am bought and paid for by a price. Now, to the world's standards, that sounds, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm my own self-made person. Man, that I can take myself and I know I am owned by the Creator of this world. Incredible. So where are you at in presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice? Spiritual worship, showing ownership by God. Again, we have this renewed mind. Everything is new. The old man is gone. The new man is here. Now, there's always that constant battle that we have during this time of sanctification. But we got to understand our ownership to God. Not being conformed to this world. This is so hard. It is so easy to be sucked in to the things of this world. You know, and we get distracted. It could be by politics. It could be by entertainment. It could be, you know, just our jobs, our hobbies can distract. Now, can we have all those things and still honor Christ? Yes. But not by being conformed to this world, but by being conformed to his likeness. And allowing yourself to be transformed by the word. This means we just don't pick up the Bible and read it. I'm saying this because, man, I'm guilty. I want to get through, hey, this is my daily reading. Boop. Want to get through it. You know, okay, check mark, I'm done. That's not how we approach God's word. We need to have our minds transformed by reading it. Not thinking of ourselves, but about others in the light how God has called you. This is a lot of our service. And I'm a selfish person. You know, I want it to be about me, and I want the comfort, the creature comforts of life, God's called us to service to one another. And that, I tell you what, that is one thing I have seen here at Christ the Rock that has given me so much joy out of the service to one another. Seeing people coming to the needs of others, praying financially, food-wise. It's just amazing, this small congregation, how people give of themselves. Having sound thinking, tune out the distractions in your life and meditate on God. Having sound thinking, that is hard. Again, it goes back to that thought life. We all have that. Right now, you guys are all thinking something different, right? And taking this in, or thinking about something else, or maybe it spurred you to think about something else. It's all about our thought life and surrendering that to Him. Get rid of those distractions that distract you from serving the Lord and serving others. You know, it's a high calling for sure. And again, we wrestle with the old and the new man. It is a constant battle until our glorification. Because we still have sin in our lives. We still don't have that perfection, but we strive to it. You know, it's at first we reveled in our sin, right? We loved our sin. You know, I had no problem before I was saved. I'm a sinner, yeah. So what? And then, once we're transformed, we're faced with our sin. And we repent. And we're remorseful over that sin. And as we grow, and we keep growing in our sanctification, that should become less and less. If we're doing what it says here in chapter 12, renewing our mind. By His word. It's a battle, folks. It is a true battle. Pray that God gives you the faith to see these verses through reading and meditating on this passage. Now, if you're not a Christian, this is probably totally foreign to you. Yes, maybe you've heard it before in word, but it can't apply to you until you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? We're not God. I have no idea. I can't point a finger and say that person's a Christian, that person's not a Christian. That's not up to me. What is up to me is to make sure you understand the gospel. How that Christ died for your sins. And He was buried and He was resurrected. And He frees us from the sin. So, call out to Him. If you don't know if you belong to our Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't think that there's another day to come. There's that other message I'm going to hear that spurs me on. Because that day might not come. He will save you fully and completely if you trust in Him and go to Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, this passage that is so pivotal, that leaps out of the pages, that, Lord, written so long ago, it applies to us as we stand here today. And it's powerful. And it's challenging, Lord. We need Your help. We need Your wisdom. We need Your guidance in this. We cannot do this. It is impossible for us to do this on our own. That we would trust in You. And that, Lord, we would serve You and serve others through this. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you here today, that, Lord, you would renew their spirit, that you would wake them up, take that heart of rock and turn it to flesh. Lord, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with a membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.